I was going to ask Teddy, if you wouldn't mind, would you be willing to talk a little bit about what you were just talking about a few minutes ago, about the disconnect of spirit? I just wonder if you would be, oh, great. Oh, thank you so much, because I just heard a little bit of that, and I would really appreciate that. So I'm going to drop the mic. Thank you for being willing.
So there's a line in the Course, and what Jesus says is, it is not a failure in perfection. It was a break or a loss in communication. It was a failure in communication, meaning the entire separation is based on a break in communication. Okay? When you join with the Holy Spirit, that is the reestablishment of communication. He fills in the gap with a new awareness that leads beyond the dream of separation, and it puts you in the celestial order where there is no loss of communication because communication is whole and perfect. So what I was talking about with Heidi, because her story was so much to the point of these understandings I've been given about children who are coming into, the world of space and time in this sort of contemporary period of awakening, was this. The children who are coming in, because they've already been through certain amounts of healing as quick turnarounds, they're coming in with less dense perceptions. When they take on the constructs of space and time, to enter into the illusion of space and time, they're coming in with less dense perceptions, therefore, like more awareness, more awareness, more feeling, more, in a sense, ability to maintain or hold on to the remembrance of themselves as spirit and as soul. All right? Now, the way the system was devised, the way it was made up, all souls are equal. All souls are equal in their wholeness and their perfection, in their light, and in a sense in their intelligence. And with their attributes, the attributes of mind and feeling, the mind and feeling is always deciding. They're always deciding. They're always deciding. The only problem is, the younger you are, the less ego integration you have. So you don't have the reasonability of a mind that's learned to reason its way around. It is less reasonability because there's no understanding yet. There's no sort of, you haven't constructed the self-identity. You're coming in for the construction of the self-identity and for the freedom to free yourself from that construct. That's a better way to look at it. So when a soul enters in, you still have maintained the understanding that you're a soul, that you're unlimited, that you're eternal, that you're whole, that you're perfect, that you're infinite. But you've come here to learn lessons, so you've taken on the ability to forget that gradually. Okay? Now, so if you're in a situation when you're 3, 4, and 5 years old, when there's some sort of traumatic incident, and it doesn't matter whether trauma comes from within you or seemingly outside of you. It doesn't matter whether the trauma comes from seemingly within you or outside of you. There really is no difference because the mind responds to the feeling without actual awareness one way or the other, because there's no difference. So external stimuli and internal stimuli are treated by us as the exact same because really there is no difference. Okay? So now say in Heidi's case, all of a sudden she's 3 or 4 years old and they put her in a hot tub and she feels helpless to do anything about it and she's always relied on her parents. Okay? Now, the trauma in her inability to respond, like she didn't have the capacity to think, oh, I'm still a soul, I'm not a body, I don't have to respond to it this way. She just responds to this feeling of overwhelming hotness, which she looks out and wants her parents to take her out of, and her parents aren't there, and she goes into a panic. The trauma itself, the impact of the trauma, causes her to break off the communication with her spiritual nature, with her nature as a soul. And instead of gently integrating and learning how to use her body, she's cast into a moment where she's this body and she has no idea what to do with it, and she's looking for the reason why it happened, the way to undo it, and she can't find it because there's no help. In that instant, right, dissociation, she consciously dissociated unconsciously. She unconsciously dissociated in a condition of conscious dissociation. So now she's suffering from a trauma, but she doesn't have the memory of the less dense association any longer, so she's looking for a solution. The solution to her is always in the situation as she thinks it was constructed. But the real problem was her inability to respond correctly to the stimulation that caused her to lose or to dissociate. The only healing that's available is being brought back to the spot where you've dissociated, gently by opening up through vibratory frequencies of energy that slowly introduce the ability to vibrate that trauma open, and then joining with the Holy Spirit to provide the wholeness of vibration where the communication is restored and you can go back to functioning normally. And what I was shown was that instant, that is the cause, that reaction formation is what's causing many children to have ADD, autism, and also gender confusion. Now, what happens is, by the time you're 6 or 7, you're in a total bodily awareness, and you've forgotten all about the trauma, in a sense, and you're still looking, your mind and your ability to reason is bouncing off that moment of dissociation. So you feel like part of you is missing, but you don't know what part, because all you now know about yourself is, I'm a body in a world of space and time. Where do I go to find what's missing? You've lost the sense of spirit, so you have to make stuff up. So you make up this story as to how to happen. You believe the story because you have that memory, when the truth is, the problem was not your memory. It wasn't the failure of your mind to work correctly. It was the loss of communication that caused the gap to be opened and filled with a story that could never make sense nor could ever be healed, because that's not what happened. What happened is you responded to a stimuli without fully understanding what you are. And without the full understanding of what you are, you did not have the ability to make the right choice. So you're looking for someone who's responsible for not offering you the right choice. So therefore, you're always looking for the authority figure who is supposed to give it to you. And you can't find it, so you blame your parents. You blame whoever you think is the authority figure. And you're always coming up against that authority figure because he's to blame for you losing the communication. Okay? What they're showing me, and this is why that movie, The Music Never Stopped, was so good for me. By reintroducing, like, so if I were Heidi, say if I were Heidi, what I would do is I would lie in a bathtub alone in a room of warm water and gently allow myself to remember what occurred as I was in a conscious condition of choosing the Holy Spirit to look at the event with me so as to open the sight of the trauma and have the Holy Spirit show you as the panic came up because you're consciously deciding not to lose sight of the goal again. to allow them to begin to feel the Spirit as the wound is opened up, because you're consciously choosing the Holy Spirit as the answer, not the therapy to try to heal yourself to be in the world, but a therapeutic approach that will reunite you with the actual truth of who you are, beyond the illusion of space-time, so you can fulfill a true purpose rather than integrate to a false purpose which can't actually show you anything but more falsity. Is that making any sense? Okay, you're just, Giggles, you're just saying that because you want the microphone.
I do want the microphone because, wow, Teddy, I was just talking about this last night. When I was a little girl, I had these experiences, one in which I was sitting outside Forest Park Elementary School, and I had this overwhelming awareness of Spirit. And he said to me to not buy into what I think is going on. And what I thought was going on was I felt different than what seemed to be going on in my school, and I was getting made fun of by other kids, and I felt just distant from teachers, and I just didn't feel like I belonged. I felt like I was from another world. And Spirit just said to me, don't buy into this. It's not real. And I was a little girl. This was elementary school. This was the beginning of elementary school. Well, then, like, periodically through my childhood, Spirit would do this again and again. He would just take over. I mean, just with the slightest inclination. I didn't even set any, there was no ritual, there was no, oh my God, do something. It was while my mind was still connected enough so that Spirit could literally pull me into that state of mind, which was by this world an altered consciousness, which is a true consciousness. So like I had where I was in Fort Lauderdale, and I was now still in elementary school, but it was, I don't know if it was the end of elementary school or what, and now I'm starting to really struggle. I'm really starting to struggle. And in fact, not buying into what I thought was happening was actually causing me to have a harder time than might have been initially just succumbing to the story, because the battle was within my mind. But little did I know that. But I knew that there was something that I believed in, and I knew not to call it God. I knew that if I called it God, it wasn't because it wasn't God, because it was, but it was because everyone around me had their own definition and ideology and modality that they were studying around the word God. And I knew I wouldn't be actually having any real communication with them, but rather a degradation of my own internal belief about what I didn't need to learn in a book or from someone, but just a knowing. So I didn't talk about it with people, but I ended up, by default, what I did talk about with people was everything else, the illusion. And because of that, my awareness in my mind, my conscious connection with Spirit, with God, started to degrade. I started to dissociate. The more I wanted to integrate in what seemed to be the world, the more I started to focus my mind on the world, the less I was hearing and knowing. And because of that, the world got louder. When I was in Fort Lauderdale, I was guided in this amazing consciousness that I was supposed to write. And so I started writing poems, and Spirit would sit with me at night and write poems every single night. And I have 500 poems from that time period. Well, that helped me have some sense of sanity, but again, I was so wanting to belong in the world and the story of the world. And the more I focused on it, the bigger it became. And it literally was smoking out that knowing and that awareness and that sense of Spirit and that guidance. So I started to feel the effects more and more as I became more and more body identified. And growing up in the childhood that I grew up in, where my mother was addicted to food and she was depressed all the time, she was over 300 pounds, and she would have bursts of anger, she would constantly be trying to nitpick, what is it I'm doing, what is it I'm wearing, what is it I'm eating, why am I looking at myself in the mirror, blah, 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 and really just unhappy and unavailable and disconnected. And my father was very much into workaholism, alcoholic. I was really not there either, but then he had bursts of anger as well. And as far as I was starting to know as I was, quote unquote, growing up, and what I was really doing when I was growing up was just developing my ego. And what ended up happening was more and more ego, less and less communication and awareness of self and with spirit. But yet, there was such a strong presence in my childhood and a knowing that I was there for a reason. That even in the midst of some of what I would consider the abuse and neglect or whatever at the time, there was also a knowing that I was supposed to go through this, that it was for me, and not only for me, but for everyone else. And it was a knowing. There wasn't a thought, gee, I wonder if maybe. It was just a knowing. It was one of those settled thoughts that you just don't even question. Well, now I ended up going through the world in some of the most extreme manners of addiction. I became a stripper. Like a whole bunch of stuff happened. I nearly died. And in that, the world and the identity of who I thought I needed to be was temporarily pulled away in such a way that there I was again. 21, 22 years old with spirit. In and out of a semi-comatose state. Without a car, without a house, they were both taken away. Without anything, without the ability to walk or read or hear loud noises. Nobody was around, and it was just me in spirit. And you know, at the time I thought, man, how could that happen to someone like me? And you know, it had to happen, because since then, I've been walking with spirit, and spirit has been reintegrating me into the world, but not to be of the world. To help me to undo the thoughts of the past, but not only that, and this is what I loved about what you were sharing, Teddy, but also because this is a mind training, I am becoming particularly helpful in a way in which where my brothers believe the stories in which I took on and believed myself and have healed, that I am now in a unique position for them to understand that I have thought what they thought and have been through what they've been through, to be able to help them to remember and reconnect in their awareness to spirit, to their self, to God. And it is a part in A Course in Miracles where Jesus says that I have had the same thoughts. If I didn't go through what you went through, I wouldn't be able to lead you out. And nobody really trusts a teacher that doesn't understand what needs to be learned based on their own experience. Nobody does, because then it is just theory. So I really see this as a mind training. The Course in Miracles is a mind training, but when you read and you study the Course in Miracles and you awaken to spirit and to who you are, you realize that your entire life was a course in mind training. Your entire life. And that now, like you just said, Teddy, now there is such a stronger awareness and conscious connection, but with the understanding of how the mind works, that I did not truly possess when I was a little girl. Because in those states of awareness where spirit really pulled me in and reeled me in and said, okay, this is what you need to do. If it was not my path and it was not necessary for me to go through what I went through, spirit could have totally pulled me. He had the power to do that within my mind and stop all of it from happening. But it was necessary. It was necessary for me to even go through all of the dissociation. It was necessary. Like a rubber band, stretching out just enough to snap all the way back to its original state. So I love what you were sharing, Teddy. And thank you for saying what you said, because it's perfectly in line with what I was talking about last night. And I just love how spirit works in this. So I'm dropping the mic. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Teddy. Thank you so much, Lisa. Gosh, we're all... You just told my story, and I just am so appreciative of that, because you basically just described a very similar process that I felt as a little girl, and then spent my entire life developing my ego, and near death, you know, the alcoholism, and you know, alcohol poisoning, and the hospital, all the horror stories that that so many of us have, but that ever since I got that I got sober again, 14 years sober, and went back out for 5 years, and I needed to do that. I needed to go through everything, because I'm back in, and I'm, you know, but this time with a complete new commitment, a new level of surrender, and that's, you know, this today, you know, coming here today and talking about what was going on with me earlier is part of that level of surrender, because I'm reintegrating. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciated that, and Teddy, you as well. That was very helpful. So I'm going to give the mic back to Teddy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, for being here today. And Dove, thank you so much for asking and for giving me this opportunity. It's been tremendously helpful. Thank you.
You know, there's a line in the Psychotherapy Practice and Purpose Manual. The conversation that we're having and the discussion that we're having and what has come to light in this discussion is the exact reason why Jesus makes this statement. What he says is, the therapists of the world are useless in the ways of salvation. And the reason why he says that is for just what we're talking about. The therapists of the world need people to stay in the world in order to maintain their job as therapists. So they're designed to help people integrate into a dysfunctional society by getting them as close to functionally dysfunctional as they could possibly be, and maintain, in a sense, the ability to cope with the world that they're going to die in at any minute. That's why the therapists of the world are useless in the ways of salvation. The Holy Spirit, as the therapist, as the anonymous therapist within all of our minds, is helping us to heal, not so we stay within the world as dysfunctional people till we die, but to get rid of our dysfunctional use of our mind in thinking that we're going to die and thinking that this is a reality, and showing us incrementally through moments of light experience, through moments of experiences of our light reality, through moments of light understanding, that love is our reality, and our reality is total, our reality is whole, our reality is perfect, our reality is eternal, and our reality is infinite. And the reason why we're so uncomfortable here is because this is not our reality. The therapists of the world are attempting to get you comfortable within a body that cannot offer you comfort. It can only offer you a temporary shelter that is eventually going to die, in which therefore you cannot take comfort in a world that's harsh and cruel, because its job is to keep you from knowing who you are and maintaining the thoughts that you need a body. Yes, that's right, Sylvain. He says you are alien here. He said the world as an environment is not a place for the Son of God, who was made to live in God's grace, and when he is absent from God's grace, finds himself uncomfortable, unable to function, and unable to know who he is. When we're living in the grace of God, we feel perfectly at home, perfectly safe, perfectly comfortable, because it is the perfect comfort of the perfection of our reality itself. A therapist who you hire to help you function within the world, at best, can get you to his own point of functioning, which is coping with the fact that at any point in time, he's going to die, his patients are going to die, or he's going to run out of money, or some sort of strange situation that is totally alien to the nature of us as whole, perfect, abundant, and eternal souls who are sourced in the abundance of infinity and have the ability to live from the source of that infinity and eternity itself. So you cannot integrate into a world of limitation as an unlimited, eternal, whole, perfect, infinite being. You must integrate out of the thought that this is your reality by allowing yourself to use the discomfort to demonstrate the need for correction, but not to adjust to the discomfort as being offered you the ability to seek yourself correctly. Because there's nothing here that'll help you see yourself correctly. The only thing that can help you see yourself correctly is joining with the spirit of wholeness that witnesses to your wholeness, then offering your brother his wholeness so he can witness to your wholeness as you witness to his wholeness. And without the idea that we're whole and perfect, and without the idea that we're eternal and infinite, all you're attempting to do is live in a condition of limitation, and any limitation is going to breed further limitation, because the attempt to live within the limitation actually produces more limitation. So you become more and more limited by your desire to adjust to the limitation, and you lose the sense of the unlimited nature by your own choice of who you actually are. So it's an incredible thing. The divine psychotherapy of A Course in Miracles is designed to help you free yourself from the constructs you willingly imposed upon yourself, so you can learn in the condition of limitation that those limitations have no bearings on your reality because they are not your reality. The therapies of the world are there to reinforce your limitation so that you can breed more limitation in the world of limitation.